Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. The New York Yankees are one of the best offensive teams I have seen in my lifetime. I don't know if it's going to continue, but what they're doing right now is historic with the home run ball and Gleyber Torres last night. Two more home runs. The guy comes up and he's taking the baseball world by storm. He looks like Robbie Alomar in his prime. Doesn't even matter that Tanaka gives up a couple of home runs himself. The Yankees offense is unstoppable at most of the time when they want to be. And Jason Vargas puts together a nice start for the Mets as their winning streak continues. That was nice to see. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Hey, good morning. You know, you wake up, everybody should be happy around here now because both baseball teams are in the midst of doing what, you know, they do best. And that, I would say, number one for the Mets, it's pitching. They don't hit very well. And then I would say for the Yankees, it's hitting because they don't pitch very well. And you're right. The Yankees now take over the home run lead in all of baseball. I think they have 72 home runs to the Red Sox 68, and the Yankees have played two fewer games. So they lead in that category. You know, it's a bomb squad, let's face it. I mean, you know, last night's ridiculous. It's like watching a softball game. But I think I said yesterday that the score was going to be something like, you know, 10-8 or 9-7 or something
close enough.
Like that.
Yep.
And it was close, and you figured that's the way it was going to be, especially in that ballpark where the ball just absolutely flies out of there. And I would think if you were a Yankee player, like, can we – play a few more games here?
Yeah, it really nice. Is. The way that the ball carries down there, I mean, that Neil Walker home run was just second deck, unreal.
And by the way, you know, you want to talk about a manager pressing all the right buttons? Let's insert Neil Walker at third base, give Andujar a break, and Neil Walker, you know, hits his home run and has two hits last night, and, you know, has been an integral part of what this Yankee team has been doing, and that's why the decision-making process that is about to unfold on the Yankees is going to be very interesting as to what they do to this team. I wouldn't want to mess with it. I mean, it's too good right now.
Yeah, but still, could it even get better? I mean, everything that they've done has worked out. I mean, I don't know if Greg Bird can be that much better than Tyler Austin has been at this point. I don't know, but you add another lefty bat into that lineup, and even if it doesn't work out and Greg Bird goes ice cold and you bring Tyler Austin back up.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it's almost to the point where, you know, it's so good that you wouldn't want to mess with it. That's the only thing I'm saying. If a guy gets hurt, it's one thing, and that's what happened to Drury. That's why Andujar is still here. That's why Torres got brought up. You know, I know that Neil Walker was playing a little second, mostly first base, but then, you know, Austin's catching fire. So I think Boone is saying, you know, we're not going to put you out there when this guy's playing well. It is a problem to have, for sure. There's no question about it. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Brian Cashman, because ultimately he's the one who makes the final decision, see how Brian Cashman handles all of this stuff. Now, for Jason Vargas yesterday, and I think we said this, that we expected him to pitch well. Why? Because the Miami Marlins are the worst hitting team in all of baseball. They are ranked 30th pretty much in every freaking category, it seems like. And you would expect this team and this pitcher to do what he did yesterday. Now, they're talking about control and getting the ball over. You know, he's not a flamethrower, so you got to handle the curveball. You got to keep it low in the zone. All the normal cliches when you're watching a pitcher. How about, look, you're pitching against the worst team in baseball. Just go out and shut them down.
Yeah, I mean, he looked better, too. Yes, it is the Marlins, but he wasn't meatballs right down the middle of the plate. His changeup was working. There was movement on it. He just looked like a pitcher. He looked like a major league pitcher. So even knowing that it was the Marlins lineup, I just felt better about him overall.
They're pretty much ranked 30th on.
I understand, but I'm not gonna totally dismiss what he did, because in those other performances it didn't matter who was up, everybody could hit him.
It's important for him personally to do what he did last night.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's the next second coming of Jerry Kuzman. It's a start for the rest of the season. I think they could exhale a little bit that they got a decent performance out of him last night. And it was a decent performance. I mean, you know, he had seven strikeouts last night, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a good performance against a very light-hitting team. And you take it for what it's worth. And for me, you know, that they've now played Arizona, who came in light-hitting, and they're playing Miami, who is light-hitting. And that's why they can't lose these games.
Right.
They have no business losing these games. They're going to face Caleb Smith tonight. Last time they faced him, they hit him pretty good. He has not been great as of late. And Zach Wheeler now needs to show up and you know, pitch. I'd like to see him go six or seven innings tonight against this lineup. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, and I'd also like to see the lineup hit, the Mets lineup. Actually, I mean, because, you know, when you shut out the other team, who isn't any good, as you mentioned, and you only score two runs, it feels great. When you score two runs and you're giving up five, it's a mess for them. So they better start hitting. Because that to me is the bigger issue. Like, if you were going to look at fool's gold at anything last night, to me it's not looking at Vargas and saying it's fool's gold. It's looking at the offense and the fact that they scored two runs again and you don't see them capitalizing on opportunities and found a way to win the game.
At the end of the day, all I really care about is that they beat the teams they're supposed to beat. And this is a team that we talked about early on in the season. They got to take like 15 or 16 of 19 from them. If they want to have a chance, they have to beat this team, especially with the way that the Miami Marlins are playing right now.
Yeah.
The fact that you are facing one of the worst hitting team in baseball in your building, and you know, you got five solid innings out of Vargas, who has been terrible up to this point, tells you just how bad they are. So I think that Zach Wheeler now has got to feel like this is fresh meat. Like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go do what Vargas did. I'm going to piggyback on Syndergaard. I'm going to piggyback on DeGrom and really start earning his spot in this rotation. He cannot go out tonight and go three innings or four innings and 97 pitches and five walks and four hits and three runs. He's got to go out there and he's got to own the game. It's on him to own the game tonight. I don't want to hear anything about mental or my mechanics. I don't want to hear about that. He should be confident that when he gets on the mound tonight, that he is a better pitcher than they are hitters.
Yeah, and he's got the stuff. We've seen it. I mean, the guy, he's capable of doing it. He might deal with some more rain tonight like he did last time, and that became an excuse for him. But
I don't want to hear it. Just get out there and either pitch or don't pitch.
No, I know. This is the time you need to get fat. You need to get fat on these teams.
I hope this thing doesn't get rained out tonight, man. You want this team playing right now. They're playing decent baseball. They're playing crappy teams, and you got to win these games. You have to win these games. I mean, you know, they're 2.5 out now in first place. Why? Because the Phillies and the Braves are playing each other. The Nationals lost yesterday. They might have won yesterday. But the fact still remains, they're playing bad teams. Now, after this, it's going to go Milwaukee. It's going to go Atlanta. I think Baltimore sandwiched in between Atlanta and the Yankees.
Right, then you got the Cubs in there, too.
Right, you got the Cubs in there. So, all right, so you're going to have four pretty damn good teams, and you're going to have four really good offensive teams.
Yep.
So then you're going to find out about your pitching staff. You're going to find out whether or not Vargas is for real. You're going to find out whether or not Zach Wheeler is going to have a mental meltdown on the mound or not. You know, so to me, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And that's good. That's great. That's what you want. I mean, if they're losing these games, then they're really in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the offense isn't good enough to spray any fragrance on these bad performances out of the starters. That's the problem, where you have the Yankees who are doing things that we've never seen. I mean, they hit, so it's, let's get the exact stat that's history there. At least four homers for the third consecutive game, marking the first time in franchise history that's ever happened.
I also think that what that shows you is really the dearth of pitching in Major League Baseball overall.
Well, I mean, Bartolo Colon, say what you want about it, he was the Rangers' best pitcher so far this year.
Shows you the dearth of pitching in the Major League Baseball.
Right. I know.
I mean, it's great. I love watching him. And I said that last week. I'd much rather watch him, you know, get an at bat because at least it's entertaining.
Right. And it's Bartolo Colon against the rest of Major League Baseball is like a cute story. He's the fat guy who pitches well against the Yankees. It's
got lit up. It was like a softball game.
Right, exactly. Yes. They just threw him on a grill and just roasted him the entire time. And it comes from the bottom of the order, too. You're talking about the 8 and 9 hitters. You're talking about Neil Walker and Gleyber Torres and Aaron Hicks again. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Where would Neil Walker hit if he'd been playing for the Mets?
Oh, they'd probably just pencil him in every day cleanup with Cespedes out. Why not, right?
And by the way, where would the Mets be without Asdrubal Cabrera?
Again, last night he gets the scoring started for the Mets.
He better be on the All-Star team. I got to say.
He's still got a long way to go. He got another.
I know, but he has been consistent from day one, man. Day one, he has been great.
Yeah, he has.
You have to admit that.
I mean, in all the things we've talked about with Sandy Alderson, I mean, that has been a signing for him that's been a really, really good one. If you want to put a couple of good and bad columns up, as Asdrubal Cabrera is in the good Sandy Alderson column, you're right. I mean, I don't know, especially with Frazier having missed time, Bruce having missed time, Cespedes having missed time, Conforto being in a slump. You've had, until recently, Ahmed Rosario has not been a factor, and Cabrera's been the only consistent offensive player on this team.
Funny, I was listening to his post-game press conference last night, and everything he said, it was right out of Bull Durham.
Yeah.
I play for the team.
Right, yeah.
And that's all he was talking about. Then they asked him about Ahmed Rosario. Well, he's playing for the team.
Right, he's playing for the team.
Everybody is unselfish, it's great, and all that other stuff, and that's what winning does. So, and you talk about winning. Two things happened last night. LeBron James, quite possibly, was playing in his last game last night in Cleveland. Had they lost and then they go to Boston and lost there, then that quite possibly could have been his last game in Cleveland. So everybody is sitting, you know, with bated breath, and, you know, the fact that he had his 40-point night last night and was awesome.
Yeah.
He will go back to Cleveland for yet another game. His 499th game as a Cleveland Cavalier. And it could, I'm telling you, it could be his last game for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, maybe.
If Boston, you know, basically takes them out.
Yeah, so. I at this point, I think that he's going to find a way to win this series, and we're going to end up getting Warriors-Cavs again. But I also think that when you look around at the options for LeBron to go to and him trying to assemble another one of these super teams, he may not have a better option than the Cleveland Cavaliers to get back to another finals. It may not work.
You mean stay in the East Coast?
Yeah, I mean, he may just want to stay in the Eastern Conference and say, you know what, let's try to tinker with this roster a little bit and see what we can do with it. I don't know. The options aren't there like they were back in 2010 for him to leave Cleveland, but it's still up in the air, certainly. And if you follow that Brian Windhorst, the guy who's been following LeBron since he was 10 years old, he's saying that the decision hasn't been made yet. He doesn't know. He said he had a better idea all those years ago about all the options and where he could go, and right now it just seems like Cleveland might end up being the place that he stays. But I mean, last night he was unbelievable again, and I don't know, this is the first time I was questioning Brad Stevens and what the Celtics were doing. Is Terry Rozier was trying to guard LeBron,
like, I mean, you know,
the whole night he was just trucking him, embarrassing. You got big guys everywhere else on the floor. Terry Rozier is the one guy that LeBron just towers over, and somehow LeBron figured out a way to have Terry Rozier on him every single time.
These teams are home teams. They play well at home. It's a different game, but again, somewhat competitive last night. It was at least there was some energy and there was some edge to the game. I felt like Boston really put a lot of effort into it, believe it or not, even with Rozier, you know, finding himself on the short end of the stick some of the time. But at the end of the day, I felt like there was effort. I felt like there was edge. I felt like that the Celtics, you know, probably said to themselves, man, if we could just win this game, man, you know what I'm saying? And we can close them out. And unfortunately, it didn't happen for them because LeBron's virtually unbeatable at home.
Yeah, I mean, he's been,
especially in the playoffs.
Right. No, the guy's been incredible in this, and I think that it's going to go seven, and I think Cleveland finds a way to do it on the road in that game seven. That's what I think will happen. LeBron will have a classic game, and you won't be able to stop him, and it'll be a must win for him. And one thing I'll say though, he's mentioned that he's been tired. And he has looked a little tired at the end of games. And you got to remember, he's played every single regular season game and every single postseason game and basically every minute outside of getting hit in the face and having to leave.
You could say whatever you want about him. And I don't, you know, sometimes the eyes and the me's get a little bit much. And I get it, but because he's LeBron. But if you're a Cleveland Cavalier fan and you see that guy plays every game, plays every playoff game, doesn't take himself, you know, off the court. All I can tell you is that's something that you can appreciate as a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Especially a Cavalier fan.
I mean, and the NBA gets such a bad rap for, like, a whiny superstar players who want to rest. I mean, LeBron James is the opposite of that.
He was one of the reasons for that. That was a couple years ago, and the NBA did something about it.
But we've gone over this. That, to me, is the coaches and the general managers more than it is the players sometimes.
Well, now, they modified the schedule, too, to make sure that they, you know, don't put those players in
tough
positions.
And he played every game. So, I mean, hats off to him. They still didn't rest there after that. So I just wonder if playing every game and, you know, him getting up there now, if you get to the point with these long series, I mean, he did go to 7 games in the first round with the Indiana Pacers, if that ends up affecting him later in this series. I still think he gets it done, but I just keep an eye on that.
He is a physical freak, man.
Yeah, no, of course.
He is a physical freak. So, and then, of course, we're going to have a Game 7 in the NHL as the Capitals decided, okay, we're going to hit everything in white that we possibly see in the first period, and we're just going to wipe out the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I'm going to be rooting so hard for that Capital team.
Why?
You know why.
Because you don't want me to get an extra first-round draft choice?
No, it's not that. It's the fact that every Tampa Bay Lightning fan out there has been tweeting me for weeks and weeks and weeks after I crushed their radio broadcast team. So I want to see them out, and I don't want to hear any more of their radio calls on the air.
Just for that,
so
I want
get
that.
Them out.
I want them to win, but I also want a better draft pick. For the trade we made with them if they win the Stanley Cup.
This is going to be Ovechkin's moment, man. This is going to be it. This is going to be his defining career moment in this game. I think I have like an old, dirty, ragged Washington Capitals t-shirt somewhere that I bought years and years ago.
Why don't you wear it?
I think I'm going to put it on. What Game 7 is what? Is it Thursday night?
Yeah.
I'll put it on Thursday.
I think it's Thursday.
Maybe
Wednesday, actually.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll tell
you. Even with the travel?
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
No, they're hockey players.
It doesn't make a difference to them.
Yeah, it's like they alternate days.
So. Yeah, all right. So is it?
It's going to be Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. All right.
Wednesday.
So I'll wear it tomorrow. I'll find that Capital shirt and I'm putting it on because I do not want to hear Dave Mishkin any longer. I don't want to hear these stupid fans any longer. I've had it. So let's go OV, let's go Caps, and screw your draft pick.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, you're just happy because you got Lou Lamoriello coming back to run your franchise.
Yeah.
One of your franchises.
Right, one of them. Right.
He ran the other one, now he's going to run this one.
Right, exactly. Well, if he runs this one like he ran the other one, that'll be a good thing for the Islanders, huh?
I guess it will be.
Yeah.
Assuming that he can get a number one overall pick or something. Yeah, that would help.
Right, absolutely. And maybe he goes out there and gets a little bit of an enforcer Toronto that he employed
Stop.
Well, why not?
Stop with all this stuff.
Well, why wouldn't he? It seems perfect. He had him up there in Toronto.
I'm not going down that road.
Well, why not?
I'm not talking about it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not talking about that part of it, all right?
All right, fine. All right, I got you.
Bring him back just in time for the wedding. It'll be perfect.
Great. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, all the Islander players that are there that you have to invite. I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's another problem.
You know?
Yes.
That would be awesome.
You know, the nice thing about the Toronto players that he was going to invite, they're not old enough to drink.
Right, well.
Hey, I'm sure they don't.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.